This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. This is episode 78, I think. We'll call it 78. If it's not, we'll do something else. Anyways, I'm going to turn on the air conditioning because it's just a little warm today, although the weather has been beautiful around here. Let's see, had the big presentation for the project I've been working on for the last 12 months this past week. That all seemed to go fine. Everyone was complimentary, and, I made it through the presentation and seemed to do okay on that. One of the people that was in the room, he asked me later, he said, "So did you have that presentation memorized?" He said, "Because you stood there and talked with your clicker with your back to the screen, and you just kept clicking and bringing up stuff, and it was right with what you were talking about." I said, "Well, yeah, I thought later, if it's good enough for Steve Jobs, it's good enough for me." So anyways, that went well. And what else? Knit Central is back up, and we're starting to get some nice compliments from people. I post on Facebook every morning what the knit is about that day. And so we're finishing up the knits that we had in queue. When I shut it down for my daughter's maternity leave, we had about 12 knits that were in queue, and so we're finishing up with those. And then the new ones will be up soon. I can't remember when we started, but we'll be getting through these ones pretty quickly. I think my daughter said we have enough knits to fill through November 5th now. So we're stacked up for a while, and of course I'm going over tonight and going to be talking with my daughter through at least 7 more tonight, hopefully. We'll do that recording, and we may even try to get ahead a little bit, because there's going to be some weeks in here, of course, when either she's going to be out or I'm going to be out, and so we're going to need to get ahead a little bit if we're going to keep up our lead. Anyway, so I think that's all the catching up news. I think so. My broadcast next week is going to be a little early. I'm not sure exactly how early yet, but my wife and I are going to take a couple of days next week. Celebrate our wedding anniversary, because our 22nd wedding anniversary is coming up tomorrow. And we had planned this kind of little wedding anniversary trip, and so my whole focus has been, oh yeah, that's the trip we're going to take for our wedding anniversary. And our wedding anniversary is on the 24th, and we're not going on our little, taking our few days off here until next week. And so I had in my brain, there, and I always used to think, how could people forget their wedding anniversaries? Are you kidding me? You should remember that. And my wife and I were talking on Tuesday of this week. We usually try to take some time on Tuesdays and Thursdays to just kind of sit and chat and get caught up, because we're often going different directions. And we were chatting, and she said, "Yeah." She said, "Honey, it's Friday." And I went, "Right." I said, she said, "Well, I wasn't even thinking about it either." And she said, "Then I looked out on Facebook, and it said, that's right, that's your anniversary." I said, "I am so glad that you said something," because I said, and she said, "Well, let's not worry about it." I said, "Well, at least card, because we're going to have a few days together, so we're not necessarily going to, there's a bunch of guys that are trying to push a car uphill. Oh, they are succeeding. I'm trying to decide if I should jump out and help them, but they are succeeding, so I think I will let it go." Anyways, so we've been talking about the Vaneworks stand, and the Vaneworks stand is a one-piece plastic desk stand with a couple of mirrors in it, and you just pop your smartphone in it, and it converts your rear-facing camera into a front-facing camera. And I've been working on this since about March of this year, and we've talked the last several weeks about what do you do with the idea when it first pops into your brain. You don't let it dribble out your ear. What do you do next? You do some research. You find out what else is in the market. You go through all of that. And then how do you pick your tools? How do you pick your people? How do you know when to pull the trigger and start spending some money? And we've talked about all of that. Which brings us up to, I'm trying to decide how to preface this, which brings us up to an interesting occurrence that happened several weeks ago that I think can illustrate what do you do when you start running into some opposition or you start running into some trouble, difficulties. Because you will. Every project is going to be like this, and you just have to persevere. But you don't necessarily just want to keep pushing forward with a project that doesn't even have a chance to succeed. And so when you do encounter difficulties, I think you always want to be realistic in assessing that project and where you're at and what the potential is for success and what it's going to take to get the project to success. A buddy and I, this week we're getting together and we were talking, and he was talking about the roles of emotion in decision making and adrenaline, and I thought what he had to say was very, very good. And we were chatting about how that it's true that sometimes you can get involved in a business decision, and then all of a sudden, the flesh starts pushing you like, this is going to be the solution to everything, and so all you can see is that the solution to everything every time you turn around, and that clouds your decision capabilities to the point that it doesn't matter what comes up, you just keep barreling forward. No matter what the cost, you're just going to keep barreling forward. It's like those guys on the Shark Tank that come out, and all the Shark Tank guys are looking at them like, what are you working on this idea for? And they say, and how much do you have in this? Oh, I got like $300,000 in this. And it's like, what? Call it quits, man. So I think you do have to be careful of your emotions getting involved. Even more importantly, you do have to be careful about constantly dwelling on, think about how much money I'm going to make with this, because money, it'll rot your brain, man, thinking about money. And you won't be able to deal with the emotional roller coaster that will come along with trying to get any idea off the ground. And so it's always better to be a little conservative. And I keep telling people, we'll see. I have no idea where this project is ultimately going to go, but we'll take it one step at a time and we'll see. Somewhere along in those steps, you are going to come up with some opposition or some difficulty. There's going to be a bump in the road. So what do you do at that point? Well, I had a pretty big bump. It's probably been a month ago now. And it was really interesting because I had just gotten to what I considered to be a stable, producible design. Originally, when I made this desk stand, I only rocked it back just a few degrees, just to be a little back, and kind of point up a little bit. And I'd play with it, and others would play with it, and it would be fine, but you'd kind of have to, lean back a little ways to actually get yourself in the shot. You were in the shot, but your head was, right on top of the screen. And so I looked around and I thought, what do I have just to kind of give me an indication of how far this thing should be tilted back? And then I remembered that I had a docking stand for my original iPhone, and I thought, I bet Apple did a lot of research trying to figure out how far back that this should tilt, and maybe I should just approximate that. And so I did. I built a new version approximating that. And the problem was it threw the balance off, threw the balance of the whole thing off. And so then I had to redesign a bunch of stuff, and it took me several versions to get to something where I once again liked how it looked and it functioned fairly well. So I had just gotten to that, and I had just started talking to the injection molder, which I think I mentioned that last week, you know, talking to them, that sort of things. And so these, we actually are kind of overlapping our podcast this week a little bit because I wanted to save this for today. And I just had like left it with him, if I recall correctly, and he was going to check into it. I mean, we're just at that stage where, yeah, we're getting ready to go now. I'm going to write this guy a check. Here we go. You know. And simultaneously, I had been trying to decide, as I talked about last week, what was the thing? What was going to be the killer app that made this thing worthwhile to have? Because, yes, people take pictures of themselves. But just kind of young people do that. And yes, people vlog. But again, that's kind of a segment. But is there some larger segment? And as I mentioned last week, I'd eventually come to the conclusion that video calling's it. That's it. Okay, so video calling. That's cool. So as part of that, I became aware of Fring. And Fring is a free program that does IM and it does VoIP calls, and they had, within the last several months, they had added video calling. And I thought, well, that's cool. So the cool thing about Fring in addition is it works with Droid, the Android operating system, and it works with the iPhone operating system, and it works on the web, and they were talking about how you can call any of them. And I thought, well, huh. We should try this out, see how this works. And so I had downloaded it for my Motorola Droid because I can only get Verizon at my house. And I was going to do some testing. Well, I download the thing, and the first thing it says is video calling has been disabled because you don't have the proper hardware to do video calling. Because apparently I didn't have a front-facing camera, and I thought, okay, so I start doing some research, trying to figure out, and I kind of, the research went on and off for several days, trying to figure out how to turn the video calling stuff back on, or if I could even turn it on, or if it was a hard disconnect. And I puttered around, couldn't find anything. Well, like the day maybe of, or the day after, I finally leave the sample with the injection molder to get me a price, all that kind of stuff. I'm reading through the Fring discussion boards, and I come across this statement where this guy says, well, I don't know, or this lady said something like, well, I don't know why you'd want to turn the video calling on anyways, because Motorola Droids don't have a front-facing camera, so what good is video calling? And this guy said, well, but you can just get such and so, and it'll turn your rear-facing camera into a front-facing camera. This was in March. This was about a month ago when I came across this. And I'm like, what? What? There's something else out there. Because, you know, when you develop a product, you always think, oh, I've got to be the first in the market. I have to be first. But you don't really have to be. Sometimes it's better to be second, in fact. But I was still in that mindset. What? You know, so I go check it out. And I go, uh-oh. And my wife says, what, honey? I said, well, apparently somebody has done that. She says, oh, no. She says, I'm really sorry, sweetie. And so I go, I check out the website. I look at the competitor, who will be my competitor. I look at his product, and I kind of check out the different things that, you know, he's done for promotions, and kind of scope out the lay of the land, see what the product does, see how it works. And it appears to be a nice little product. There are some drawbacks to it, which when you're looking at your competitor's products, you know, you want to see, okay, what are their strengths? What's their market segment? What are their weaknesses? And you want to just kind of check that out because that tells you how much openness there is in the market. And so while it was first, it was kind of a big jolt, I started talking to my friends then and saying, okay, here it is, showing them what I had found out, you know, talking to them about my conclusions, and trying to make this decision then. Do I move forward? Or do I say, well, this was fun, I learned a bunch of stuff, let's cut our losses at this point and let's quit. And honestly, the best piece of advice that I got from a buddy was, I said, I guess it comes down to, is there room in the market for two of these products? And he said, yes, absolutely, yes. And I thought, well, you know, that's really true. I mean, how many markets are there out there where there's only one product? And from what I saw, I was not suddenly and deeply concerned about the competition from this other product. For one thing, I had looked. I had searched. I'm pretty good with Google, and I had looked and searched and looked and searched on Google for something like this in March of this last year when the idea hit me. And I couldn't find this. I mean, I just could not find it. And I thought, well, lands, if, you know, if I can't find it, that means there's a whole bunch of other people out there that can't find it. And honestly, even if they could find it, the product that I'm working on actually has some strengths that this other product doesn't. And so I thought, you know, so I don't really see anything that's a deal killer here, but in my mind, at least at that point, I was still thinking, well, but I'm not going to be first, so I can't get that wave. You know, I've since kind of readjusted my thinking on that. And there did come a point, which is the whole point of what I'm trying to get to. There did come a point when I had to make a decision. Do I drop another $20,000 into this enterprise? You know, which is what it's going to take to get the mold and to get 2,500 copies of this thing up and get the website up and maybe do a little advertising. Do I drop that money or do I quit? And as I was talking to my friends and they were looking at it, one of them said, oh man, he said, I don't know. He said, I'd really have to think long and hard about going forward now that you've got some competition. And I looked at him and I said, what would be the reason not to move forward? Why wouldn't I keep going? Would it be because I'm afraid of failing? Would it be because I'm afraid of losing money? Would it be because I'm afraid of looking foolish? I said, you know, none of those things seem like good reasons to me. Because what the Spirit tells us is try. Try. What the Spirit tells us is you have free will and you can look at it and make a reasonable judgment. Ask me for help. I'll give you opinions. But it's your free will. Make a reasonable adjustment, a reasonable analysis, and decide whether you're going to move forward. But decide it based on the amount of money that it will take, based on the probability of success, those things. Don't make the decision because of flesh-driven excuses. Oh, if you fail, well, people will think of you and they'll think, oh, he failed. Okay, I don't care. Well, you're going to lose all that money. Well, you know, this is money that I have set aside for entrepreneurial adventures. And you know what? Some of it's going to work out and some of it's not going to work out. I mean, to get the money back in this last phase, you know, I'll need to sell about 2,500 copies of this thing. okay, do I think I can sell 2,500 copies of this thing over the next 12 months, 18 months or so? Sure. You know, to get myself totally paid back after that 2,500 and I pay for the mold, I think maybe I'd have to sell another, I don't know, another, well, let's see, $15,000. I'm getting my mail, by the way. $15,000 and I'm making $78 a piece. I probably have to sell another 2,000, 2,500 after that to completely pay myself back. But, you know, I think that should be doable. I mean, there's millions of iPhone users, and most of the people I've showed it to, especially after they actually see it work, they're like, hey, that's cool, you know. So, I mean, there seems to be a lot of interest, and I think I've got a pricing plan that will be very attractive. And I've got enough friends and relatives and things, and they have interconnections. I'm backing into my garage. I mean, 2,500 just doesn't seem that far away, you know? So, I'm not really that concerned about the money. Even if I lose a little money, it's all tax deductible. Which, you know, in the tax bracket that I'm in, it's not really $15,000 or, let's say $35,000 by the time it's all said and done. It's not really $35,000. It's really more like about $22,000, you know? And so, okay, I'm going to, you know, be able to deduct that on my taxes. So I don't think being afraid of losing money is a good reason. And as I look down all the reasons that immediately came to mind for why I shouldn't make this decision, why I shouldn't move forward in light of hitting this little bump in the road, all those reasons sounded like flesh. I'm afraid of this. I might look bad. I might lose money. And money is that's my whole source of being in life. No, it's not. And on the flip side were things like, you know, if I don't do this, in 10 years I'm going to wonder. And in 10 years I'm going to think, you should have pushed forward. You should have tried it. Just try it. See what happens. Now, I'm not advocating that you go forward into financial ruin, because that creates an environment of failure as well. But if you don't try things, how are you ever going to come up with any successes? So the whole point of this is, when you're involved in a project, when you get this idea, when you finally decide, yes, I'm going forward and these are the tools and yada yada, and get some questions answered about how much it's going to cost to produce and where's my price points going to be and all that sort of thing, you are going to have spots where you're going to hit problems. You're going to have setbacks. When you get to those points, just make sure that when you're analyzing that and deciding whether you should keep moving forward, just make sure to split your reasons for going forward or not going forward into two camps. And if it has anything to do with fear or greed or shame or discouragement or any of those things, that's flesh. Don't make your decisions based on that. Instead, make your decisions based on the adventure. Make your decisions based on what you can learn by going forward. Make your decisions based on persevering and trying as opposed to giving up. There may be a time when you need to shut something down. But don't shut it down just because you're afraid. Shut it down because you've made a clear-minded decision of why it makes sense to shut it down. And after I looked at all that, there really wasn't much point in even thinking. I already knew what I was going to do. I had the money. It was set aside. It's not food money. I can take it off on my taxes. I can afford to spend this money. I mean, it was a non-decision. And I said, you know, I'm going to wonder forever and ever if we don't try this. So I'm going forward. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.